How many of you were here last week? Okay. How many of you were not here last week? Okay. You're picking up in the middle of something, okay? So you just have to know that. I'm going to go back and review just a little bit to kind of help some of us that may have missed. It's kind of where we are. Just because it's too important. It's too important. Folks, it is kind of raining outside. How many of y'all are familiar with one of these? Yeah. Do y'all like these? The big ones are the best, I hear. That's right. That's right. I grew up out in Fort Stockton, Texas, out in West Texas. It didn't rain very often. So when it rained, I don't even know that we owned any of these. When it rained, it was like, let's go get in it. Let's go get in it. Since we've been here, since I got to keep my hair all pretty and everything now, I sometimes find myself covering my head or something like that. But what are these good for? Keeping the rain off. How do you open this thing? Whoa, there it goes. Now, I'm not superstitious, so don't worry about me. On a sunshiny day, it keeps the heat off and all that. That's right, the sunlight. Do what? Keeps your head from... keeps my head from burning, she says. Okay. Well, if we get out in the rain, this is a big one, too. Like, this is like a two-person umbrella. Okay. Me and a small person. Okay. Me and Chad Upchurch, it's not going to cover us both. I'm just sorry. But the umbrella... We like umbrellas because we can go out in the rain and we can stay dry. We can stay dry. Folks, we have been singing all morning about Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Rain, open up the sky and fall and rain on. Some of us have spiritual umbrellas. I don't mind it raining around where I can see it and see the effects it has on other things and other places, but I got to keep my hair fixed. I don't want it on me. It might make me get chilly. It might make me cold. It might do whatever. I want to stay like I am. I don't mind so much the surroundings being affected as long as it doesn't get on me. I say you need to spend some time in West Texas where you appreciate the rain. Folks, we've been asking, we've been begging, we've been praying for the Spirit to rain down on us. Let's throw the umbrellas aside. Let's throw the coverings aside. It's okay to get wet. It's okay to get wet. We've been talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit and what that means. I'm going to look back over my notes just over last week just to kind of make sure that I don't miss anything. We talked about the our passage, Ephesians chapter 5 and specifically verse 18 that says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." We talked about several things. One is that it's a command. He doesn't say, "Hey, I got a suggestion for you." He doesn't say, "If you feel like it." He says, King James, I think, says, "Be ye filled." Get filled up. But it's something that's passive. It's not something that we do. We don't fill ourselves up with the Spirit. It's something that's done to us. God does the filling. God does the filling. And it's plural. It is for, how did I say it last week? It's for all y'all. All y'all. Everybody. And listen, it's a command. All y'all get filled plumb up. Okay? If Jesus was an East Texas boy, that's how he'd have said it. All y'all get filled plumb up. And it's present tense. which it carries a durative action. In the Greek, we don't have this tense really in our English, this verbiage, but it basically says, get filled up and keep getting filled up as long as forever. Just continue. We talked about the ditches. When the ditches get filled up, what happens when they get filled up? Does the water stop coming? It just keeps getting filled up more until the ditch is like 6 miles wide. But whatever. But it's something that the very literal translation of this verse would be being filled. Continually be being filled. It's not a one-time deal where you get filled up, and if you run out, sorry. You continue to be being filled. It's being hooked up to that super tanker that's taking you across country, and you don't have to stop to go, I was going to say go to the bathroom. You don't have to stop to get filled up. You got a continual flow of fuel. That's what it's like. It's like being hooked up to the super tanker. Today I want to talk to you just a few minutes. And I'm not going to talk long. I'm not going to preach long, folks. I think the Spirit has already been working, and I think the Spirit has got some business to do today, and I don't want to get in His way. God has promised us so much power, so much love, so much comfort. We talked about this fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But there are so many Christians that are walking around today without those things. If they have the Spirit and don't have those things, how can that be? Because the Spirit is those things. It's the gift that the gift brings to us. The Holy Spirit is the gift, and He comes with gifts. So if you don't have those things, maybe it's because you're not full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to be degrading or derogatory or anything like that to anybody that, well, you're not filled with. I'm just saying, if you're not, get filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today I want to talk to you about reasons. Some people bust out the umbrella. Reasons some people don't get filled with the Spirit. Reasons some people don't want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, listen, when I read this morning from the book of Isaiah, I'm going to read that. It was just too good. I'm going off notes here, but y'all just bear with me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." They were singing it loudly. You know how I know? At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. This is Isaiah. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." I believe that's why some people don't want to see it, because they'll be exposed. If I get filled with the Holy Spirit, He's going to make me do some things I don't really feel like I want to do. I'm not comfortable doing. I don't want to change who I am. I don't mind seeing it in other people, but I don't want it on me. So I'll just stay under my umbrella. one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Folks, that is good news. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Talked this morning with our little group. That's the only proper response to being filled with the Holy Spirit is, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. Here am I, do whatever with me, because I'm not even mine own anymore. I gave myself to you. Do with me what you will. Folks, it's not something to be afraid of. It will expose. It will convict. It will change. But folks, it's all for the better. It's all for the better. God's Spirit is drawing us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the goal. I want you to become more like my Son. I've given you a perfect example. I want you to move towards that example. You can't do it by yourself, so I'm going to help you along the way. I'm going to send my Spirit to help you. That's the Holy Spirit. What hinders us from being Spirit-filled? The first thing that hinders us is resisting the Holy Spirit. We resist it. We we get under that umbrella. It can fall all it wants to, just not on me. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, he's preaching a powerful message. The first martyr, y'all know what a martyr is? A martyr is somebody who dies for a cause, who gives their life for a cause. Stephen, the first martyr, the first one who to be crucified for the cause of Christ, except for Christ. He was preaching to them. He preached a powerful message. And those that did not want to hear it, they were despising his words. As Stephen concluded his message in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he looks at them and says, you stiff-necked people. Means stubborn. You stubborn, stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You've not cut off the excess, the extra, the unimportant parts of your heart. You've not exposed yourself. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. We can talk about those guys, can't we? The problem is, not everyone here in this building is probably submissive to the Spirit the way that Christ wants us to be submissive to the Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts you to do something and you don't do it. Possibly, even as I speak right now, there's someone who's just interested in getting home or getting to the restaurant or somewhere or anywhere else but here right now. Why are you resisting? The Spirit wants to teach you something. The Spirit wants to convict you of something. The Spirit wants to empower you to do something, enable you. The Spirit wants to provide a comfort that nobody else can comfort you in. The Spirit wants to work in and through you. Why are you resisting? Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Put the umbrella down. Put it down. You can turn it upside down and catch extra. Another thing that hinders the Spirit's working in us is a desiring against the Spirit. Desiring against the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, Verses 16 and 17 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." They're fighting. There's a war. There's a battle within us. Now, if you're not experiencing that war, if you're not experiencing that struggle, you may have bigger problems than not being filled with the Holy Spirit. You may not even know the Spirit. Because if there's not that, one of the first jobs, I said it last week, one of the first jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. Sin. Anything that displeases God. Anything that displeases God. And the Holy Spirit, His first job is to convict us of sin. Sin is we want to do something that's not right, that God disapproves of. And we do that. That's sin. Well, that desire, that want to. See, if we'd want to, and there's no restriction, we do it. But the Holy Spirit comes in, and He steps in the middle and goes, "Ahem, you know that that's not okay. You know that that's not cool. God does not approve of that. You should not be going there. You should not be doing that. You should not be looking at that. You shouldn't be talking like that." Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Convicts us. Say, "Mm-mm, no, you need to turn around and go the other way." Desiring against the Spirit, if there's no restriction there, it's because the Spirit's not there. If He's there, He's going to be interrupting us. If He's not there, you've got bigger issues. You may not even be saved. You may not have trusted Jesus Christ, because folks, you don't say, "Lord, I trust You with my life. I give myself to You. I surrender all," without the Spirit coming. When you do that, and you do that sincerely and from your heart, it's not the words, it's the heart. It's the heart communication with God that does that. It's not the words. The words aren't magic. And if you truly are genuine in your profession, in your confession of that, then the Spirit comes in and He gets to work, folks. If you don't have that work going on in your life, you need to back up. You need to get things right. You need to come to Jesus. You need to say, "Lord, I'm serious. I'm giving myself to You. I surrender. I understand that there is only one way to salvation, that is through Jesus Christ. I understand that I have sinned, I have done wrong. And that alone has condemned me to a life in hell for all of eternity. But Jesus Christ died for me to pay that penalty so that I don't have to do that. Thank You, Jesus. I receive it. I accept it. And Lord, I'm Yours, and I'll do whatever You say now." We resist the Spirit. We can desire against the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." To grieve, this word in Greek means lupeo. The Greek word is lupeo. It means to grieve. We interpret it to grieve, but it's more than just, you know, some words just don't carry across language so accurately where you really get a good handle on it. It is grieve is a, it means to cause pain or great sorrow. I want to throw something at you real quick that may sound funny. Grieve is a love word. Does that sound weird to anybody? Come on, be honest. Grieve is a love word. Your enemy can frustrate you. Your enemies can anger you, but your enemies cannot grieve you. you can only be grieved by someone you love. It's a love word. The Spirit loves you. It's God's Spirit. And God loves you. God's Spirit loves you. God's Son loves you. And you can grieve that Spirit because there's love. It's a love word. Not only that, but we were sealed by that Spirit. Not only will God not leave you, God cannot leave you. He goes with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you... Now, for some, that's a scary thought. Okay? It's almost like he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But you sure do grieve me a lot. When the Spirit... we make the Spirit sad sometimes. Remember, he's always with us, so I imagine this conversation going something like this. Why are we looking at this? Why are we even here in this place? Why are we talking like this? Why are we doing these things? And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we forfeit the filling. We grieve it so much because we're not desiring it, because we're not craving it. We don't want it. We're resisting it, and it grieves the Spirit of God. The fifth thing that hinders us from being filled with the Holy Spirit is quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. First part of it simply says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not. Okay, we had a command over here. Be filled with the Spirit. We have another command. Do not quench the Spirit. I found something interesting 3 weeks ago when I was putting this together. The same word for quench here in Ephesians 6, to quench the Spirit, is the same in Ephesians 6. This passage, 1 Thessalonians, is the same word that Paul uses in Ephesians 6 when he's talking about the armor of God. And specifically, the shield of faith. Y'all know what he said about the shield of faith? He says, with the shield of faith, we can quench the flaming arrows of the enemy. The fiery darts. We can quench those with that shield of faith. The same word, quench, used over here. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand what that means, right? When we quench the fiery darts, the fiery dart comes, we hit it, put it out, smoke. Okay, no more fire. We quenched it. We put it out. We stopped the flamey dart, the fiery dart, the flaming arrows from doing their intended purpose in our lives. We stopped it. We put it out. Done. Quenched. Don't quench the Spirit. We take that thing back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. We quench the Holy Spirit when we put out the fire and destroy the intended purpose that God has in our life. It's the same word. We can't change the meaning. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, listen, we do what He does not want us to do. When we quench this Holy Spirit, we don't do what He does want us to do. Did I say that again? When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you do what He does not want you to do. When you quench the Holy Spirit, you don't do what He does want you to do. We quench it. Put it out. Extinguish the flame. Put out the fire. Stop the intended purpose. We put it out. the Holy Spirit says, go say you're sorry. You say, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. Then the Holy Spirit comes back and he says, go say you're sorry. You say, nah, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not doing that. Then the Holy Spirit says, go say you're sorry. You say, I'm not doing that. The Holy Spirit says, go say you're sorry. I am not doing that. What? I can't hear. What? Silence. It's not because the Spirit's not saying it. It's because we're unable to now hear it because we said no, 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 time after time after time after time. It's not his inability to speak. It's our inability to hear. And that's from quenching the Holy Spirit time and time again. We've stopped the intended purpose that God had for us. We've extinguished the fire. We have quenched the Holy Spirit. I've been in a place, not this church, okay? It was another place, and man, there was just warfare going on in the church, physical, spiritual, mental, emotionally. It was a bad time in the life of that church. And Rebecca makes a comment, you know, it's almost like you walk in there, okay, and you walk in there, and it's like somebody put a wet blanket over top of you. Now, if you're in a fire and a fireman comes in and puts a wet blanket over you to get you outside, that's a good thing. Okay? But if you are if the Holy Spirit wants to come and ignite you, putting that wet blanket over you, that's quenching the Spirit. That's quenching the Spirit. Quench the Spirit long enough, you don't even hear it anymore. And then you're not even convicted about it anymore. You don't even feel bad about it anymore. It's because you've quenched the Spirit time and time and time again. The last thing that keeps us from being filled with the Holy Spirit is a flat-out rejection of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Did y'all know that that's what God has called you to do? He's called you to live a holy life. He's called me to live a holy life too. I'm not just pointing the fingers out there. He's called us to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God. The very God who gave you His Holy Spirit. You can reject God's Spirit. Oh, my friend. Did you know the messenger of God in your life is not your pastor? I'm not going to take that responsibility. The Holy Spirit is God's messenger to you. Did you know that the Holy Spirit in your life, the messenger of God in your life, is not your spouse? It's not. It's the Holy Spirit. It's His job to instruct you. Now, He uses people. He uses teachers. He uses pastors. He uses whatever to accomplish those things. But He is the ultimate messenger. It's His message. He's the messenger. And when you say no, 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 over and over and over again, you cannot hear the message any longer. So why are so many Christians sad, without joy, and filled with fear and so far from what God has promised? God has made no provision for us to live the Christian life. Now, this is going to sound weird to you. God has made no provision for us to live the Christian life, only for Him to live His life through us. You see, it's more about Him than it is about us anyway. Always has been, always will be. Sometimes we put ourselves up on that pedestal like we're God or something, and God says, God has not made provision for us to be able to live the Christian life for our sake, basically, only for Him to live His life through us. That is His purpose. Folks, if God's living through me, He can accomplish more for His sake on this place than I ever could. Which leads us to this. Five things. Let me review. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We can desire against the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can flat out reject the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about the good news. How do we, like Paul said, be being filled with the Holy Spirit? How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to be very clear and very precise here for a few moments. One, you've got to recognize your need to be filled. That only comes from humility. Only comes from humility. That's when we say, Lord, I'm going to put this down because I kind of need to get a little wet. And I don't mind getting a little wet because there's some things going on that I can't control, that I have no control over, and I don't like the way they're going, and I'm not all I thought I was. I'm not all they think I am. And I'm ready to put all that down and admit I need You. Humility. Recognize your need to be filled. Number two, confess all known sin. You come to the altar. You come to the pastor. You come anywhere. You get in your closet alone by yourself and say, Lord, I know that these are some things that I've been involved in, to do and thinking, feeling, whatever. And I know that they're not right, and I've actually acted on some of these things, and that's not okay. I should not have talked like that. I should not have said that. I should not have felt anger towards somebody like that. I confess all that to You, and I recognize, I agree with You that that is sin, and I don't want that in my life. Confession. Confess all known sin. And listen, if you finish your list and you're still not sure, ask your spouse. Ask your children. Ask your parents, and they'll help you out, I'm sure. Finish out that list. And when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, confess it. Confess it. Turn from it. Repent. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the Holy Spirit does not feel a dirty heart. Now He'll when we come to Him, I want to be clear on this. It's not that you can't get the Holy Spirit or receive the Holy Spirit until you have done all the cleaning up, folks. You can't clean it all up. When you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord, that's when the Spirit comes in and said, "Hey, let's get this place cleaned up because I want to move in. I want to move in, and I want to have free reign to every room in the building, even the broom closet and the pantry and the bedroom and the attic and the crawl space under the house in the kitchen drawers in the TV stand. I want access everywhere. Clean it up. Clean it up. The Holy Spirit does not fill dirty hearts, but what He does, come in and clean it up and make it a habitable place for Himself. The third thing is surrender yourself completely to God. That's when you say to God, like Isaiah did, "Here am I. Send me." Of course, it's not so ironic that, it was God in the building, right? And the angels. And Isaiah, And who else was in there? Nobody. So when God said, who's going to go for us? Who shall I send? Isaiah may have went. There ain't nobody else here. Here am I. Send me. I don't know. We don't have that recorded. But he said, here am I. Send me. It's not important how he got there. He got there. He said, here am I. Send me. Submit. Surrender ourselves completely to God. Whatever you want. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll serve wherever you want me to serve. I'll give whatever you want me to give. I am yours. And then the last thing, just ask for it. Say, God, fill me up. Fill me up to overflowing. You got to recognize you need to be filled, and that takes humility. You confess all your known sin to Him. You surrender yourself completely to God and ask Him to fill you up. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do something today that is way different than what you may be used to in a Baptist church, okay? And I'll say this. Let me just start with this. I've been a Southern Baptist all my life. I'm a Southern Baptist. I believe the theology is right. I believe it is true. I do believe in practice we have been missing out. Okay, so let me say that first and foremost. And as much as I'm Baptist, I'm more about Bible. I'm more about Bible. How many of you, don't raise your hand, don't answer this out loud yet, are here today and you recognize, you know what? I have not been filled with the Spirit. I'm not filled with, I've experienced some things here and there, but I'm not filled. He doesn't have access to everything in my house. And I'm not completely full of the Spirit. If you're in this place today, you can say, I'm not full of the Holy Spirit, but I want to be. But I want to be. I've got good news for you. I'm going to do something for you today. Now, understand this. I cannot fill you with God's Spirit. I cannot do it. Hal cannot do that. Nobody in this building, nobody on this planet can do that for you. Only God Himself can fill you with His Spirit. But there's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 that says this. Paul is talking to Timothy, his kind of like his protege. He's bringing him up in the ministry. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That is the Holy Spirit he's talking about. Ignite it. Fire it up. Fan it into flames. And how did he get it? By the laying on of Paul's hands. And so I'm just telling you, I can't give you the Spirit. I can't do that. I can't fill you up. But there's something significant about what this passage says, is that Timothy was filled. Paul was involved in it somehow. Paul laid hands on him. Paul laid hands on him. God filled him up. I don't explain it. I can't explain it. Don't understand it. But I want to be obedient to it. I also want to make something very clear. Maybe you've been to a church where they said you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And what that means is you come down and they do the head noggin thing with a hand and then falling down and they say, they may say this: you can be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, it means you didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, I don't find that in Scripture. There were some people that were filled with the Spirit that spoke in tongues. Okay? So whatever you've got going on in your mind, I just want you to put aside. We're not going to get all Pentecostal or whatever, but sometimes that's not a bad idea, I think. But what I'm saying is, let's just get scriptural. Let's just get scriptural. All I'm going to do is say is this. We're about to have a time of invitation. The altar is open. The altar is always open. If you feel led by the Spirit to respond, I'm going to be up here. My wife will be up here. If you're a woman, you'd rather speak with her. That's why she comes up here with me. She's my partner in ministry. We do this together. If you want me to pray with you and help you, and you want to ask God to fill you up so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to do that. I'd be honored and glad to be a part of that. It's not my power. I can't do it. But if you've come in this place and you can stand up from here and walk out and say, no, I can honestly say I'm not full of the Holy Spirit, and I don't really want to be. Good luck. Good luck being effective. Good luck living a life that honors God's plan for you. I'm sorry. It's not what God's intended for you. His command is, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, help us today. Lord, as we begin this time of response, this time of invitation, Lord. There are people in this room that need to work through some of those steps, that need to confess sin, that need to come to you, that need to come to Jesus for the first time, Lord. There's some folks in this room, Father, that need to come back to you and say, Lord, there was a time, but I let stuff get in the way. And now, Father, I can't even hear your voice very clearly anymore. It's like a murmur or a whisper, and I want to hear it clearly again. Lord, fill me up. Fill me with your Spirit. There may be somebody today that is dealing with other issues. I want you to know that I'd be honored and glad to pray with you today for anything that's on your heart. The truth is, though, you don't need me for any of this. You can come straight to the altar. Jesus is our mediator. Go straight to Jesus. But I'm here, and I will be here. Father, help us today. Help us to honor you. Help us to walk out of this place filled with the Spirit. Father, help us to walk out of here filled and overflowing, but not for our sake alone, but to empower us to affect our environment wherever we go. In Jesus' name.